Table Dooms, a podcast about tabletop role-playing material from a game master with more time to read than opportunities to play, and anything else I think about. Episode 1, Spirit of the Century. Ray Otis, over at the Plundergrounds podcast, put out a challenge for people to do something on the themes of something old, new, borrowed, and blue. So this is my something old. Spirit of the Century. From the back cover of the book. Get ready for the fight of the century. Across the ages, the centurions of the Century Club have fought to shape history for the betterment of man. But they are not alone. Dark forces are at work. Shadows cast by the death of the past hound the centurions at every turn. Ancient millennials bend entire nations to their will, pursuing agendas both hidden and arcane. The time to act is now. The deadly Dr. Methuselah seeks to unravel time itself with his solution to the eternity equation. Gorilla Khan stalks the darkest Africa from conquered Atlantis. Mad scientists, strange sorcerers, and power-hungry dictators all seek to undo the fate of mankind. It's the final century of the second millennium, and you are humanity's last hope. Become a Centurion. Spirit of the Century is a complete standalone pulp role-playing game based on the award-winning Fate system. All you need to play are some friends, some dice, and this book. Basic stats. Spirit of the Century is a pulp adventure role-playing game published by Evil Hat Games. Originally published in 2006, it clocks in at 411 pages and thankfully contains a comprehensive index. It has three authors, Fred Hicks, Rob Donahue, and Leonard Balsera. The art is by Christian N. St. Pierre. The book does not currently appear to be available in a physical form, but the PDF is available on DriveThruRPG as a pay what you want, or from the Evil Hat online store at $5. So what is it? Spirit of the Century is a game of pulp action heroes, daring do, mad science with two exclamation points, and the 1920s, 1930s. Two-fisted fights on top of zeppelins, super-intelligent bad guys building doomsday devices, and a world just recovering from the Great War. Its primary themes come from the likes of Doc Savage and Indiana Jones, the good ones. And despite its reference to millennials, remember this was 2006, so the reference was non-ironic at that point, its core themes are optimism, action, and science. And science usually has at least two exclamation points after it, and sometimes the word mad in front of it. The players take on the roles of globe-trotting action heroes fighting the forces of evil. Spirit of the Century uses the Fate system, but this is the Fate system prior to its streamlining in the current version of Fate Core and Fate Accelerated. As this is a Fate game, you'll need some Fudge or Fate dice to play. Those are the six-sided dice with two pluses, two minuses, and two blanks on each die, and you'll generally need four of them. Five things to like about Spirit of the Century. Number one, the art. Christian N. St. Pierre's black and white art is a perfect fit for the game of a pulpy world of good and evil, black and white. There isn't a ton of it in the book, but it is a 400 plus page book, so not every page can be art. Two, the organization. Things are really easy to find and where they should be. The book has sections like how to do things, running the game, tips and tricks. Scattered throughout the text are worked examples of play illustrating points that a GM might find confusing. Towards the back, there is a section giving a brief history of the era right around the 1920s. That's a nice reference to give your game a bit more of an authentic, pulpy feel. We also get a section of quick picks for stunt packages to make pickup play easier. As a GM, I really appreciate the help in getting this to the table quickly. Number three, freeform character aspects. Fate, Spirit of the Century, was the first game that I came upon that had freeform character aspects, which means you picked something for your character and described in words what it was you were good at or had a problem with, or something that really defined your character for you. These weren't skills, these were freeform bits of text that were basically huge flags for the GM to pick up on and say, that's what that character wants me to help them do or to put them in trouble with. So that was powerful stuff back then. Nowadays it seems more common in a lot of games, but this was the first time I encountered it. So some examples for aspects. Something like Seat of My Pants would be a great aspect for a character to take. It says that they want the GM to put them in positions to be reckless, but to also succeed and come out of nowhere fixing something or driving crazily or just generally doing something very fun. Another one could be something like Always Save My Brother. So there's a huge flag for the GM. Put NPCs that are important to me in danger. I have to come to their aid, so you can use that to push my character towards the next adventure, or towards the next thing, or the next plot hook, or the next clue. Characters don't have classes in Spear of the Century. Instead, they're made up of aspects and skills and stunts. And aspects are super important. The skill list is good, but it's pretty standard, and the stunt packages are very interesting as well. But I think aspects here are really what made it super unique. Number 4, a really good GM advice section. Lots of books claim a good GM section. This one has two of the best if you're focused on pulpy action games. The first is just entitled Running the Game. And it details out specifics to help you run the game, obviously. But the specifics have worked examples, lots of good flavor, and just generally are super helpful and straightforward. The second is called Tips and Tricks. And to me, it's a whole class on how to run pulp games and make them feel pulpy. There's a ton of information here, including the history of the era, to make your games really pop. Number 5, respect for the material and the GM. Right up front, these books speak briefly to the more ugly aspects of this historical era, namely sexism and racism. It calls out pulp's Western Eurocentric roots, doesn't try to ignore these things, but it also doesn't spend a ton of time explaining them away. In the end, the section ends with a paragraph, "All in all, the best advice on these issues is to be aware of them, but don't be paralyzed by them, and feel free to ignore or otherwise remove their existence from your game. Trust yourself and your group, and you'll come to a good conclusion." I feel like that respects the GM to put what they think is important in, but also doesn't hamstring them and tell them how to portray the era. I mean, this is a fantasy game after all, so we often ignore the things that aren't super wonderful about the particular era. What could possibly go wrong? So, I've played and run Spirit of the Century a lot of times in the years after it was published, and a couple of things did come up as problems that were solved later on with Fate Core and Fate Accelerated. So first of all, the number of aspects. Aspects are super cool, I really like them as GM flags. The downside is that each character in Spirit of the Century has 10 aspects. With a table of 4 players, that's 40 aspects for a GM to contend with, which is way too much. Now, it's likely that you can ignore a lot of them, but then you have to rely on the player to inform you when they would come into play, and it's just kind of suboptimal because it doesn't really allow the GM to be proactive in poking at those players. Generally, for pickup games and house rule stuff, we stuck with about 5 aspects per player, and that seemed to work a lot better. One problem is specific words are used for the success and failure level descriptors when rolling the dice. So terrible is called if you roll a -2. Epic is a +7. I like the idea to make it feel pulpy with these grand words, but to be honest, I can't keep straight in my head if superb is better than fantastic. By the way, superb is a +5, fantastic is a +6. The other thing that might be a problem is that the advancement system isn't terribly great. The game is really meant for shorter play, one-shots, convention games, under 5 sessions, I think. And that's really where it shines. There's a section on how to do advancement, but it's kind of weak. So overall, the game is $5 from Evil Hat, or pay what you want on drive-thru. It's 400 pages of pulpy goodness. It's well organized. It has an index. There's lots of good GMing advice. There's plenty of stuff here to steal from, even if you don't like Fate or you don't want to run the game. The history chapter alone is worth poking at if you're going to run something in that era. Just go get it. As always, you can contact me via the Anchor app, or you can email podcast@tomeofalldooms.com. Let me know your thoughts on Spirit of the Century. Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like. Tell me about your favorite play experience. As this is the first episode, I don't have any feedback yet, so I'll just end with, get out there and play something. The music is Remember the Way by Midair Machine, and it can be found on the Free Music Archive.
Tome of All Dooms? Really? Yeah, well, it sounded better in my head.